Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Hearty good morning to Lindsay and to Don and to Andy Mazur for joining us on Saturday mornings. How are we all doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
Very good.
Everything's good.
Everything's good.
Later on today, Andy, I mean, you and I have known each other for a very long time. You know that I don't shy away from personal questions.
Correct.
And Don, of course, has been, dealing with this. But later on this morning, we need to have a conversation about the dentist.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Right. Dental hygiene.
Okay.
In particular.
Sure.
I feel like you always have good dentist stories.
Oh, my gosh. I have the best dentist story. I mean, whoever really? Has a good dentist story?
Right. You. Have, right.
I no, no, no. But I mean, like, I mean, Andy, do you like the dentist?
No. I was just there on Wednesday.
And how'd you feel going in there?
Not good. Anxious.
Couldn't wait to get out, right?
Anxious.
Right?
Yes.
When we get done with my dentist story, I'm hopefully going to motivate people to positive dental hygiene.
Oh,
all right.
I'm looking forward to that.
Out there.
Yeah.
Andy, I support that.
Like getting teeth filled.
Thank you, Andy, for your support.
You got it.
877-2134 Lou. We have lots coming up on our show this morning. What I want to hear from is you. What can I do to help you this morning? Fall came in like boom, it was fall. Just like that, right? It's cold, and I kind of like this weather. I like the zip-up. I like the hoodies. You know, give me a good zip-up hoodie when it's cold, a little chilly, and,
some cider.
Well, I haven't gone to the cider yet. Nor have I
pumpkin
done the pumpkin.
Spice.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had anything with pumpkin spice.
What?
I mean, it's just not a... I like pumpkin.
Do you like it, though? Have you, like, so do you... Oh, I think you're going to love it.
I don't know that I've ever, I mean, like a coffee or whatever, right? Isn't that a big thing?
I'm with you, Lou, on that one.
You're not a pumpkin spice guy?
Not a pumpkin. Give me apple cider any day of the week. Apple cider donut, something like that. Yeah. That's fall to me.
Yeah. That's good.
My sister and I, and my sister-in-law and I wait for the day. It's like August 25th. I think it was August 25th.
right.
That they came out at Starbucks with the pumpkin spice latte.
Really?
Yeah. And then we'd
apple
send a picture of
yeah, those
like,
apple, what are those apple cider donuts?
Oh, those
remember
fantastic.
Those when we were kids?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. You and I kind of grew up in the same area, so we probably went to the same apple orchard as kids, right?
Did. You're right.
And you would go there, and they would be fresh. They would cook them right there, all in the grease and the oil. It was great to be like 11.
So good. Didn't matter how many you ate.
You're right. It didn't write it. Now it's like, no, I'll just take a bite because it'll go right to my hips. So anyway, I'm with you, Andy. Apple cider
definitely.
Donuts. I can't have those anymore.
I've never even heard of those.
Oh,
really?
No.
That, throw your pumpkin spice away. This is, you would love those.
It sounds amazing.
You'll never want pumpkin again.
Yeah. Apple cider. You're right. That was a good one.
Prove it. I'll send you a pumpkin spice latte. You send me the cider.
We used to buy the jugs of apple cider. Remember, Andy? It was kind of in the old plastic jugs.
Yeah, like the old water jugs that used to come in. Yeah.
Yeah. We're like the old men here now.
So good.
Remember, Andy?
Remember back in the day
when
we had to push buttons on the telephone?
Right, exactly.
Rotaries.
Oh, my God. I just had a telephone conversation. Anyway, I'm stopping. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's go to the phones. This is Peter calling in from Queens. Hey, Peter.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How may I help you?
My basement door. I had to, the lock is a kind of, I got to wiggle a few times if I can open it. How can I fix this?
The basement door, the lock, is it a deadbolt or is it the knob itself?
It's a deadbolt.
And tell me what's happening. The key will go in, but you can't, it won't connect?
It won't turn. I have to jiggle a few times, for 2 seconds. Before I can give it to open.
All right, let me ask you this on that deadbolt: is it keyed on both sides, or is it a key on one side and a latch on the other?
The key's on both sides. the outside can open easily, very nicely, without any trouble.
Okay, so with a double cylinder lock like that, there are these two pins. There's a pin on each side of the lock. That when you slide it in together, one of them sort of slides over the top of another. And it's possible if the one side works fine and the other side doesn't, that pin on the inside has been either worn or it's broken in half or something. If it's, you know, working every now and then, you need to take the lock up. You need to take the lock apart. And are you close to like a hardware store or something like that?
Yes, I can find one.
When you go to loosen those two screws that are holding the cylinders together on the inside, you'll pull those two screws out and both of those locks are going to fall. Right. So it's a little tricky to do with one hand. If you've got someone to help you, what I typically do, if you're like me and you got these big meat hooks, you can hold the lock with your thumb and your index finger, and then you loosen the two screws and then you pull the locks straight out, and you'll see that there'll be a little pin in the center of the outside one and a pin on the center on the other one. And I bet it's either that pin is worn or something is worn in the latch itself. And if you take that to the hardware store and say, I need two pins here, brand new. I mean, you know, it's $2-3 for the pins. It's not even that much. And that should replace those, put it back together, and it should work.
Okay, that sounds good, Lou. Lou, can I ask you another question, Lou?
Of course.
What's the difference using the silicone roof coating and the acrylic?
What are you talking about? Coating a flat roof?
Yes.
And you want to do like an overlay?
Right.
Well, the silicone is a little bit more durable. However, the acrylics, I mean, are you just trying to buy yourself some time?
Yes.
Okay. And the acrylic is much cheaper. There's a white product that comes in a 5-gallon bucket called, I believe it's called Roof Coat. And it's an acrylic product. I have personally used that on a commercial building probably 7 or 8 years ago, just to buy me some time. It's a 2 to 2.5 year, maybe, you know, where you'll buy yourself a little bit of time. Go with the acrylic. Make sure that the roof is as clean as possible, right? And and then go ahead and apply this product.
Who is this product made by?
I'm trying to think of the manufacturer. I know that there's a company called Ames that makes a roof coat product. So it's, if you go to amesproducts.com, you can search their products. And I believe they make one in multiple colors. The one that I've used was white. And, you know, you get a little reflectant properties out of it when you're using it. So I would try that. Go to amesproducts.com. All right. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hi, Jan.
Oh, hello. Hi. I waited on so long. I didn't know if you were even live.
I am live. How may I help you?
Are you live? Okay, so here's my problem. As I explained to the producer, I live in Manhattan, where they say there are more rats than people, and I can testify to that. So this is what I'm interested in, which is a good rodent exterminator. It may be a referral service where they might be able to have someone on call, where they could come on short notice. And I'm not sure exactly what to expect them to do. What a good exterminator should do. I know I've got something running around my apartment, and I don't know how to get rid of it. And I know there are holes in the wall, breaks in the wall that need to be filled up. At the very least, that needs to be done. I have a handyman who could do that, but right. I don't know about getting rid
of it. Okay, so you're in an apartment.
Yes.
What floor?
I'm on the third floor.
Okay, and how big of a building, and how many units do you have in the building?
In the front of the building, there's a front and a back building, you know, outside the courtyard.
Right.
There are 16 units in the front, 4 on each floor, very small apartments, you know, renovated building with the low 8-foot ceiling, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what does the building do? I mean, here's the thing. Sure, we can find you an exterminator. I don't know about the short notice thing. I will tell you that, you know, in a multi-unit building like yourself, you are better off taking matters into your own hands to try and control the problem. You call an exterminator, they'll come out and they'll say, hey, lady, yeah, we'll fill this up, whatever. And you said you have a handyman that could, you know, fill all the spots where a rodent could be coming in. Okay, so that's right. That's an easy thing for anybody to do. Then within your apartment, do you have any pets?
I don't. Okay. No, I wish I had a cat.
No, right, yeah, right, right. But
cat might chase him away.
Within your apartment, what I would do is start with some really effective repellents, because so here's the thing: if we've sealed out the access for the rodents to get in, right? That's number one. In a multi-unit building, there's chases and places for them run around all day. You know, there's mechanical shafts and everything like that. Well, you can't do anything with that because it's behind the wall. So I'm going to give you two products that I want you to write down, and I want you to either buy them online or go to a store. There's one by...
You say repellent? These are things that they don't like that will chase them away, is what you're saying?
Correct. So number one, you're going to get your handy person to seal all the gaps. That's A number one. We're not going to use any bait, because what we don't want to do is attract them to eat anything to come into your space. We want to repel them. So there's a product called Bonide Rat Magic, and it's also
I've heard of Bonide. They have products for plants and things, I'm pretty sure.
They're a terrific
B-O-N-I-D-E.
Correct. They're a terrific maker of a lot of different products for your lawn and your garden and your home. So this
and the exact name is, now give me again, Bonide, and what is the name of the product they make?
Rat Magic.
Rat Magic, okay.
And it's these little sachets that you open up, and you'll place one under the sink, and you'll place one, you know, in a corner where maybe you've seen a little person running around. And the smell is actually quite pleasant to you and I. But they don't like it.
They don't like it.
Okay. And it lasts about 30 days.
When you
first open it up, you're going to be like, oh, that smells pretty nice. I hope my place doesn't smell like this, but it won't. And you'll strategically put these in places where, do you have radiator heat in the building?
Yes, I do.
So all those pipes, right, they're running up and down those pipes. So like wherever there's a radiator, you're going to put one of these things. So you're going to buy, you know, a couple boxes of this. And then here we are, you know, almost October 1st. So you're going to put it all in there. And on your calendar, you're going to replace them in November 1st. And that combination of the sealing up of the holes using the repellents, you will be successful in keeping them out of your place. And then, you know, obviously keep your place as clean as possible and all that other good stuff.
Now, you said there was another product. You said there were two.
So there's another company. If you can't find that, it's a company called Fresh Cab. So fresh, like I like my you know, fish fresh.
My bagels.
I like my bagels fresh. I like them just made, right? I love a good bagel.
Right.
Ooh,
fresh cab, like the taxi cab?
Like the taxi cab without the taxi, just the cab.
Okay, two separate words.
Correct. And they're one of the originators of it. And it was actually the way the Fresh Cab was designed for. It was designed for farmers when they would have their tractors out in the fields. And what would happen is at the end of their day, which would be at night, they would get out of their tractors and go in and have dinner with their family. And the field mice would come up and chew all the wires in the cab of the... they would place that in the cab and it would keep the field mice out.
So where would I find that? Would I go on the web and look up freshcab.com?
And if you went to bonide.com, you could buy it all. All of this would be available online if you don't want to go anywhere. But also, most hardware stores and or home centers would have this as well.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
So I think I have some idea what to do now. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you calling this morning. Good luck with that problem.
Okay, thanks very much.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Nobody likes to talk about mice and rats. You didn't do anything wrong, especially in New York. She's right. There's more rats than there are people, which is not good. All right, 877-213-4LU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. This is House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We will take a break, and we'll be back right after this. This, I believe, is Mark, who's in Westchester. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Lou.
How may I help you, sir?
I'm calling to see how you would tackle this problem that I have in my house in the bathroom ceiling outside a stand-up shower right up outside on the ceiling. The people that were here before painted the ceiling pink, and they painted over, obviously, the mold that was already there on the ceiling. So, well, through the years, this mold is coming, it's being visible through the paint. The mold is, they're like little little
dots,
dark, about the size of M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Got about 20, 25 of these little M&M dots actually coming, not through the paint, but dissolve, making the paint translucent, like where they are. So if you would wipe that area with a diluted bleach, you know, you're not touching it.
Because it's under the film.
It's on the other side of the paint.
Okay.
And this paint, it's a latex paint. They painted it pink, which, you know, we never liked. But now that we're getting to the bathroom, I want to repaint that bathroom. I don't want to paint over it.
No. Well, let me stop you for a second. The first thing is, Mark, do you have an exhaust fan in this bathroom?
No, there's not. But we're in the house now 30 years,
mm-hmm.
and there's not, we're not making any, we don't have any humidity problem in that bathroom. We didn't add to it. So everything on the outside that you could wipe, if there was a humidity problem,
mm-hmm.
we have that.
Okay.
This is on the other side of the paint. We can't get to it.
Got it.
What you do?
Okay, so are you going to paint this yourself? Are you going to come and do this yourself, or are you going to hire somebody?
Well, I do paint around the house, but for this,
This is a little bit involved, because what I need you to do is I actually need you to sand. I need you to sand that paint and get down to where that mildew and mold is leaching through. What's happening is the moisture's going through the film, but it's just enough, and then it's holding itself on the back side of it. So one of the things you could do that would speed up the process, I mean, it's a bathroom, so it's not a huge space, but if you were to get a random orbit sander with a medium grit paper, like a 100 grit or even an 80 grit, and then hold it flat up against the ceiling, you know, which is a little, you know, it's a lot to kind of hold up above your head. But I want you to sand all that down and get rid of it all. And quite frankly, I'd like you to sand the whole ceiling, because more likely than not, the finish of the paint is some type of semi-gloss, and so there's like an enamel coating on there, and we need to open that film up so that you can then go with a mold-killing primer, okay? And Rust-Oleum is one such maker of this product. It's exactly what it's called, mold-killing primer.
I'm writing this down.
Of course. Killing primer by Rust-Oleum.
Primer.
Then what I would do is, once you put that primer on there, and do you have a second bathroom you can stay out of here and so it dries really well, you know, for a couple days? Okay, so now you're going to put that primer on. You're going to let that dry for at least 24 hours. And then Benjamin Moore makes a fabulous line. Well, they make great paint, but they have a specific paint called Bath and Spa, and it has a built-in mildicide in it, and it's designed for humid applications like that, specifically for a bath or spa. And, you know, if you want to paint it white or a color, whatever you would like, it can be tinted, or you can just buy a, you know, if it's a bathroom, you might get away with a quart, you know, depending on how big it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then paint that two coats, and you should solve that problem. But the secret sauce in all of this, Mark, is the sanding to expose this mildew and mold, and possibly, you know, it would be great if you could sand it enough that we could sand all that off, right? Then put the mold-killing primer, let that dry, then paint it.
Okay, and after it's, if we get through the sanding, would you not take some diluted bleach and wipe that area with a...
No, I don't want any of that, because the problem with that is with the diluted bleach, you're introducing water, right? Bleach on a porous surface is not the thing to use, because it's mostly water. And so I just want you to sand it, then get it nice and smooth and have it look good, then use the mold-killing primer. Do not use bleach.
Okay. Great advice. Because as I had a painter in the house for something else, I showed that to him, and he says, oh, you just paint over that.
No. That's the painter you say, get out of my house. Get out of my house.
Right, and that's why I thought to call you to get your advice, and that's what I will insist on.
Sounds good. I appreciate you calling this morning. Good luck with the project.
Thank you very much, Lou.
You got it. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. Let's get one more quick call in here before we need to take a break. This is Bob calling in. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, with the extreme drought condition we've been having in the Midwest, I've got a problem with my downspouts hooking up with my drain pipe and the adapter. So it's like the drain pipe and the adapter have kind of sunk with the ground a bit.
Oh, yeah,
there's
a
half inch to three-quarter inch gap, and now it's kind of offset with the downspout. And I'm trying to figure out, I can't stretch up that adapter because it's got a ridge that snaps into the rib of the inside of the 4-inch drain pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything they make that can...
So your downspout is rectangular in shape?
Yeah, it's a 3-inch rectangular, relatively new. It's the larger size downspout.
Okay, so it's an oversized downspout that fits into the rectangular sleeve that then transfers into the round going into the ground.
Yeah, the 4-inch round ribbed drain pipe, and that adapter has a raised lip that snaps into the inside of that ridge, so it makes it almost impossible to stretch it out of that ridge.
Mm-hmm.
So there's about a half-inch to 1-inch gap, and then it wants to shift to one side, so half of the downspout's outside of the drain pipe and half of it's in, so a lot of the water's running into the ground, which I don't want.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in a perfect world, we'd put a sleeve in there so that there would be a little bit larger, but I'm just trying to think of how we would pull that off. They should make a... So where that connection is, where that rectangular connection on top of the sewer line, you should be able to find... You may have to find this online. I don't know if you'll find it at a store. Like a 4-foot section of that rectangular piece that connects to your downspout, okay? And it may have a stop point, like it may have an insert point that grips. You're going to cut that off, and you're going to click.
Okay.
You're going to click the other one into the one that comes out of the ground, and you may have to take the downspout off to do this. Then you're going to slide the downspout in like a sleeve, right? Almost like you're putting your, if you can imagine a straw, you know, like a. You know, like a McDonald's straw, which is nice and wide, and a little stirring stick straw that you would use with your Manhattan, that would go in the bigger straw, and then as the ground goes up or down, it's just going to slide up and down.
Right.
But it'll still stay connected.
Okay, so it would be a larger rectangular piece and kind of splice it so that it can adjust up.
Correct.
You couldn't do the same thing buying a small section of the ribbed drain and kind of splitting it and trying to it from the bottom?
You could.
But it wouldn't have the same flexibility to move with the ground, though, would it?
Probably not. Yeah. We're trying to create a sleeve to go up and down.
Right.
To give you that gap. And that this is not... It's. You can do this, and you can find this. Quick search online, I'm sure you'll find it.
Okay. All right. We'll give it a try, Lou.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. We will take a quick break.
Hi. Good morning.
I
have a big question because everybody that I've called to do this is talking a lot of big numbers. I have limestone steps going up to the outside of the house,
okay,
coming in,
yep.
And I've noticed a crack about 6 inches in length and maybe an eighth of an inch, but it's getting wider, and now I notice another crack. So is there something that I could put in between, because I don't feel like spending the money now, you know,
okay,
that I could fix that?
Now,
because they're talking about railing. Oh, you would have to do the railing too, blah, blah, blah. You know how it is.
Understood. But now let me ask you this, Margaret. Are the steps sound, meaning that when you walk up and down, nothing's moving?
Nothing is moving. No. Nothing is moving.
Are you a baker?
A baker?
Yeah.
But yes, I do bake.
You can bake. Have you ever decorated a cake?
Yes.
Here we go. We're going to do some cake decorating on your limestone steps. I want you to buy an outdoor caulking. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
Yes.
It's called slab. S-L-A-B.
S-L-A-B as in boy.
And it is by a company called Sashco. S-A-S. No. Hold on. Let me spell it. Let me spell it. S-Sash. Okay. It's S-A-C-H-C-O. Right? Does that sound right?
Yeah. Okay. S-A-C-H-C-O.
Right. It's a company out of Denver, Colorado. Okay. They make this really excellent grayish-colored exterior caulking for masonry. Now, where that crack is, I want you to take painter's tape, on both sides of the crack, carefully outlining both sides of the crack.
Okay.
And stick it to the limestone. You with me?
Yes, I am.
Now you're gonna take the caulking and you're gonna fill that gap, and this is a latex based product. So as you fill in the hole, then you're gonna take like a plastic putty knife or any kind of putty knife and draw it towards you to fill it all in to get it nice and smooth, and so it actually fills this crack. And we're gonna keep the water and the ice in the wintertime from getting inside of there. And then once you got it nice and smooth and you're happy with your cake decorating, you see how I'm bringing it all back to the cake decorating?
Yeah.
You're like Buddy. You're like Buddy the cake boss. Right? So you're going to, then once it's nice and smooth, you remove the tape and you'll have these nice, clean lines that follow the crack. Then keep everybody off of that. You know, make sure it's not going to, make sure it's dry, make sure it's clean of debris, make sure it's not going to rain or anything like that, right? And keep anybody from walking on it for, you know, at least 24 hours.
Okay. That's okay.
And you're going to solve this problem, probably be happy as a pig in slop for the next, you know, 10 years for less than $20.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Right? Stick with me. You stick with me. We'll save money and we'll be over. And then when it's all done and you're so happy, then you're going to bake something and I'll stop by.
Okay. I actually tell everybody about you. I'm up every morning, every Saturday. It's like, I got to listen to Lou.
You're so nice. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much, you too. Bye-bye.
Very nice. I like that. I like when people tell people about me and they don't say bad things.
I was going to say, it depends on what they're telling.
It depends on what they're saying. 877-213-4-LOU. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Coming up a little bit later on in the show this morning, we have a really cool New to Lou 2 coming up after 7:35. Lindsay was so excited about this that she was, which I'm a little, you redid your fireplace a number of years ago, and I guess this doesn't surprise me, you're tired of it already, which is just kind of your thing.
I just like change. You know, I like to keep it fresh.
So this is a DIY, change the look of your brick.
How cool is it?
So this is a company we've featured with some other stuff. This is their best product. And I think the easiest one to use. And what was interesting, I was delving into the more information. You actually can use it outdoor. They don't They say it's going to fade. Like, they don't back it up with a warranty, but they're like, yeah, you could use it. I kind of like the whole thing. And when you look at some of their videos, like, it's an actual family, right?
Right.
Right. Right? And it's like the kid, you saw the kid, hey, yeah. Hey, oh, hey, it's Jimmy. It's cute. Whatever. And I thought it was really funny to watch the video, but to learn more about the stuff. So if you have a brick fireplace and you don't love it, or it doesn't really have to be brick, if you have interior brick that you don't love, while I'm not a huge fan of painting the brick, I think I could do this. We're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. It is 7 o'clock in the morning. We were trading some emails together, and I said, no, sleep is really overrated.
Overrated.
Yeah, and Andy goes, but on Saturday? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Well, we're so happy that you're with us, Andy. Okay, so...
Yeah, Andy, welcome. I haven't even said you. Hello.
That's okay, yeah, Lindsay.
Come on.
Sorry. Hey.
It's okay.
I'm waking up still, too.
Yeah, she's right.
This is the truth. I get that.
I like to sleep on Saturday mornings.
I don't blame you.
Okay, let's talk about the dentist, because I'm so happy about my dentist appointment. So, I'm going to ask around the horn, starting with Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you good flosser?
I am now.
After yesterday?
After about a year ago when I went to the dentist for the first time in a lot of years.
Oh, so you were like one of those folks who just doesn't go to the dentist.
Yeah, I was. I'm not a very good dental patient, and I finally found a dentist thanks to my girlfriend and one of her friends that I don't look forward to going, but I don't dread it as much as I used to.
Right. Don, are you a flosser?
I got one of those water picks, like a water flosser thing a few years ago, and since then I've used that more. But man, the floss itself, I was never very good at that.
Lindsay?
Daughter?
Son. Son. She's the son that you're daughter of an endodontist?
Endodontist.
Endodontist, excuse me.
I always correct you.
Thank you.
I am a flosser. I love to floss.
Love?
I do.
Really? Okay, so I never was. And my wife is I say that my wife is a voracious reader. She's a voracious flosser. Like every night, like clockwork, okay? My last dental appointment, my whole thing is I want you people to start flossing because it's just good for you. And I'm going to give you my story and why. So I started flossing 6 months ago, right? You go to get your teeth cleaned every 6 months or so. And I was like, I got to do this more because my gums were bleeding. Good morning, everybody. And I just didn't feel healthy. So I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to commit to doing this. So my dentist, Fred, who actually lives in the neighborhood, and he's a lovely man. He's been a dentist forever. He does this thing during the exam. And I don't know if your dentist does this, but they take like a little probing tool, right? And then the hygienist comes in and he probes each tooth and he gives it a number. Are you nodding your head because yours does that as well?
Yeah, yes. And then he like calls it out to the woman and she's
she writes it down, right? So he or she will say three, right? Like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so right before he got started, I go, Fred, I'm hoping for a bunch of twos today. And he goes, why? I go, well, I've been really good about flossing. He goes, yeah, actually, I was cleaning your teeth. Your gums are in great shape. And he goes, just so you know, three is normal, right? Like three is nominal. That's okay. It's like when you get into the fours, yep. I'm going, no, I'm going for the twos. Like this, I'm in the chair. Right? Like this. So he starts, right? He's like, all right, here you go. Three, middle three. And he's like working from the back and he's getting to the front, right? When the front, I guess, is where you get the better numbers. So then he's like, three, two, one. I go, hold on a minute. And I have him stop. And I turn to the hygienist who's got the list. I go, have I ever gotten a one? And she goes, you have not. And I go, high five me right here.
Nice.
So I'm lying on the bed. She high fives me. And then he keeps going, one, two, middle three. So I was literally never so happy.
You are funny.
I mean, one, I turn to her. She's got her mask on. We all got her mask. High five me. And this lady's like, what is this guy doing? Who is this guy? Everyone? Start flossing.
Excellent patient. That's who he is.
Not only
right?
is it good,
thank you, Don.
Not only is it good for your gums, but it's good for your heart.
Right. I've heard that too. Why is that? I don't get that. I want to know the connection between my gums and my heart.
I think it's about gingivitis. Something like if you don't floss and then the gingivitis, like it's a gum disease.
Yeah. Okay. Come on, people. Mm-hmm. Everybody, commit to it. If it's something you didn't do, and now what's happened to me is like my OCD, I can't go to sleep unless I do it.
Oh, wait. Why is this? When bacteria seeps through your tooth root, they enter your bloodstream and travel to the rest of your body.
Wow. Good to know.
Look at the things you learn on this show. Right?
So, you know what I learned, too, is that this cleaning that I had, the last one a couple days ago, I'm on a four-month program for a little while here. So this cleaning was as easy as any cleaning I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, because you know you start to do it more often and you you take a little pride in it. And the next thing you know, the old cliche is true. I mean, the better you are to your teeth, the easier those cleanings become.
Right. So there we go. People, what are we going to do today? We're going to start our flossing regimen with October right around the corner. Floss, you're going to be so happy. I'm telling you, it changed my life. One. High five me. Lying on the chair. High five me with my mom having, you know, like all drooly, right? It was great. It was quite possibly my best dental visit of my entire life.
That's a great story.
Unbelievable.
That's great.
I like that.
See? I want some twos and I got a one, right?
Can you take line two, by the way?
Oh, sure. I will. Okay. 877-213-42. This is Eleanor calling in from Jersey. Eleanor, good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you?
My problem is I found a portable, small, standard typewriter in its case in the basement. When I opened it, it was full of mildew. So I quickly closed it. Is there any way that someone can clean it? Because I can't do it.
What a surprise. Are you going to try and sell it, or are you going to start writing some letters?
No, I just want to clean up the mildew.
Okay. Let's do this. I want you to buy a product called Concrobium Mold Control.
Okay.
And then you're going to open it back up. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to spray this. I don't want you to soak it, but get it, you know, so it's damp. And then let it dry.
Okay.
So as it dries, it will kill all the mildew and or mold spores that are on there. And then take a dusting brush, not a hard bristled brush, but something that is soft yet, you know, like medium that you can come across the keys and come across the hammers that, you know, put the do the typing and kind of clean that all up, and then use a rag to clean it up, and then you can spray it again. And then as it's wet, to kind of use it as a cleaner. But it will kill, if you spray it and allow it to dry, it will kill any mildew or mold in there.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day. I appreciate you calling this morning.
You too.
877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's do this. Our next caller is going to get a hat, but right now we need to take a quick break. And we'll be back right after this. How may I help you, sir?
Thank you. Good morning, Lou. After being in the house for 30 years, we decided to replace the sidewalk and the stoop, and we did so in May. The sidewalk was great. The stoop, after a week, ended up having a crack right down the middle. Really interesting. Unfortunate. In August, they came out, they cut it out, and they re-poured it, and the crack showed up in the exact same spot.
No!
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and yeah, I feel bad for the contractor and for everyone involved. It's a 7-inch stoop above the sidewalk, and there's two footings coming off the house. It was hot both days with the pour. There is some rebarb in there. I think he's scratching his head, but I think we're going to be reliving the definition of insanity if we do the same thing again. So just looking for some advice from you, if you have any.
Okay, so the house itself, you said, has some... It's got some wing walls that come out.
There's two of them. They're 4 foot apart. And then they poured
the slab on top of that.
Correct.
Okay. But the crack is happening in the middle.
Yes.
Okay. And he's going to come and replace this again?
He's interested in doing it again. And I get it.
So here's what we're going to do. So if I'm standing on the sidewalk and I'm looking at the front door and the stoop, how wide is that stoop?
9 foot.
9 feet wide, and how deep?
It's about a foot.
Oh, that's it.
When you say deep, you mean
from the house coming from the house coming out.
Oh, coming out? Yeah, it's four. It's 4 feet.
So
yeah.
4 feet by 9 feet, but the wing walls are 4 feet apart on either side of the door.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, and so I've got that 4 feet, and I've got another 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I've got another 2.5 feet that's hanging left or right of the wall.
You've got that right.
Okay. Okay. And then around it is what? Just ground, dirt, earth?
Right. Just landscaping.
Just landscaping. All right.
Yeah,
so,
the thought this time is perhaps to pour some additional foundation or footing, you know. As
correct. So what I want, two things are happening. As it's drying, so we need rebar, right? So he needs to lay in some wire mesh and some rebar that runs the 9 foot length, okay? And that needs to be elevated in the center of the pour. But before that goes in the center right outside the door, I want him to dig a footing 42 inches down, a hole, a post hole, right?
Yeah.
Throw some rebar in that and bend it like an L. It doesn't have to go all the way in the hole, but it needs to go in a couple feet, and it's got to go left and right. And then on that 2 feet on both sides, he's going to dig a post hole there and do the same thing. So we've got the wing walls, and then we're below frost level on all of that. And then when he pours it, okay, the other thing is, which direction does this house, is this a southern exposure?
Yeah, the front faces the south, so it got direct sunlight. It's a high-fiber concrete, so it was getting some sun, and it was a 90-degree day on both days.
Okay, so then we need to slow down. So then you're going to – this is another thing you're going to have him do. You're going to have him pour the concrete wet, meaning it's called wet in the truck. Okay, what they want to do – you know, they want to get there and strip it and get it all done and get the heck out of there. And especially with you, they want to do nothing but get the heck out of there, right? They're done with Dr. Pete. But but if we do this, keep the forms on it, have the concrete be a little bit wetter, and have them come back the next day to strip it. And so let's say that they pour it on a Tuesday morning at, you know, they're all wrapped up, it's formed, it's clean, looks good, it's noon. Then at 2 o'clock, I want you to come out with a hose and hose it down.
Okay.
And I want you to slow the cure down. And then before you go to bed, I want you to hose it down again. And then when you wake up in the morning, I want you to hose it down again. Because we're trying to slow the cure down. The one thing you have working on your side now is the cooler temperatures. So it will naturally. But we need those 3 post holes.
Okay, we'll do it. We'll be doing it probably in a couple more weeks. Thanks for your input. I appreciate it. And we were watering it, but I don't know. I think those sides needed some support.
Correct.
And final analysis.
But the center does too.
Yeah.
So 3 posts. The fact that it's only 4 feet deep, then just 3 of them. 1, 2, 3, 42 inches, 8-inch diameter, rebar in and out, rebar across it, it's not going to crack. You could park a Mack truck on top of it.
Thank you. And you made me smile earlier when I heard you enjoying flossing and, you know, your oral health issues have been on the upswing. I think it's really great. Flossing is good for you.
Thank you, Dr. Pete.
All right. Take care.
877-213-4LOU is our phone number. This is Lynn in Merrick, New York. Hi, Lynn. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, how nice. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I hope that you can give me an idea about how to handle this. My husband had, many years ago, built a deck outside, a wooden deck on, I guess, cinder blocks. And during Sandy, the whole thing got smashed and the floor sank.
Mm.
So I had someone come and redo the deck, and he gave me a nice screened-in porch now, which I love. But he never raised the floor. So from the house to the deck floor, it's such a deep step. Now I'm in my 80s at this point, and it's too high, you know, a difference, especially if I'm carrying food out, entertaining or something. Can you give me an idea about what to do without redoing the whole floor?
When you come out of the home, Lynn,
yeah.
how much space is there? In other words,
Is
it's over a foot, I would say.
No. In other words, when
the space is, no, it's attached. There's no space.
No. I understand that. But how big is the screened-in porch?
Oh, the screened-in porch. It's about.
Like, do you have a
14?
Okay, so it's a nice size. And when you're standing, you're standing in the house and you go to take a step, do you step down two steps, one step? How many?
One step, but a very deep one.
Oh, so meaning that it's tall, like more than more than 8 inches tall?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Well, I would say, I'm stepping right down, doing it now, maybe, maybe 10 inches.
Okay, so how about we try something like this? Instead of, you can't raise the floor because it's a screened-in porch and there's a roof. But what if you had somebody build you a platform that split the distance between that step? So in other words, in a perfect world, stairs, when you cut steps, should be anywhere from 6 3/4 inches tall and no more than 8 1/4. And 8 1/4 is a pretty tall step. But if you have 10 inches, okay, let's use that for the sake of example.
Yeah.
If you had someone build you a 5-inch platform that's not a step, in other words, it's going to be the width of your doorway or a little bit wider as you're coming out, and maybe it's 2 feet deep. So it gives you the opportunity to step down and get established on that level and then step down again to your screened-in porch.
You're not talking about the whole floor, are you?
No. Just up. Imagine.
How wide would it be?
How wide is your door?
Oh, okay.
So it's probably a 3-foot door, right? So let's say we go a little bit wider, and it's 4 feet wide, and it's 2 feet deep. So now you step out of the house 5 inches, you establish yourself on that platform, 4 feet by 2 feet, and then you step down again.
Okay.
Take some paint, take some masking tape and take a tape measure and measure that out and say, okay, if I did this, the table fits or whatever. And then it would be easier for you, as you mentioned, getting a little older, you want to make sure you're safe. And you would just get a deck builder or a carpenter like that to be able to come and do that work for you. Thank you so much for the phone call. I am just bumping up against news time. Our Noodaloo 2 is coming up right after this report at WGN Radio News.
It's just about that time of year again to cozy up near your fireplace with some hot apple cider, Christmas tea, or a Tom and Jerry.
Huh?
If you know, you know. But do you love that brick around your fireplace? Or is it looking a little dated? If you've been wanting to update or lighten the exposed brick surrounding your fireplace without spending a fortune, this week's Noodaloo 2 might be your answer. The Gianni Brick Transformations Whitewashed Kit will transform your fireplace or brick accent into the centerpiece it was meant to be. And guess what? You can do it DIY style in just a few hours, and it won't break the bank. The densely pigmented formula is specially crafted to work hand-in-hand with brick so that it easily absorbs and creates a durable, long-lasting whitewash look on a range of brick colors. The kit itself contains everything you need, from the paint itself to the brush to the drop cloth. And what's so cool about this stuff is that you can adjust the brick coverage yourself by mixing different ratios of water to paint. So say you'd like more of that natural brick color to peek through, you mix a 1-to-1 ratio of water to paint. Then after you apply it to the brick, wipe it away with a wiping rag. If you want more coverage, do a 1-to-2 ratio of water to paint using the wiping rag. Or for total coverage, use that same 1-to-2 ratio water to paint and don't even use the wiping rag. So the look you are going for is completely in your hands. There's a bunch of step-by-step videos online if you're looking for more information, a ton of before and after images, and even more really good reviews. Oh, and one kit goes for $39.95. Deal! For more information on the Gianni Brick Transformations Whitewashed Kit, visit HouseSmartsRadio.com.
That's this week's Noodaloo 2.
It's really a cool item. These Do you? No, I do not. Do you want to change that brick look? It's kind of a whitewashy thing. And do you like, now I would think, Lindsay, when you looked at the video, you mentioned in the piece that you could change the amount of pigment that's in there to either really bring the color out of the brick or just really have it whitewashed so it changes the color. Which one do you prefer? I think I know.
I would probably go in the middle.
Really?
What would you think?
That you'd go all like white.
Oh, no, no. Actually, that would be my least.
It's like we don't even know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. After all these years, I thought it was kind of cool. And, you know, the process is you paint it, you wipe it, you paint it. And what's really neat is that you get a little bit of the hint of the color of the brick. So let's say you had a really dark brown or red brick that you're like, oh, I can't stand this. But you do that little whitewash and a little bit of that color bleeds through. It's almost, you know what it is? And what I like, it's kind of an evolution of a change where it can be super drastic when you go from, oh my gosh, it was brown, I lived with that forever, and now it's white. It's like too much. Maybe I'm rethinking what your favorite thing would be. It's like an evolution. So then if you don't like it, you could go back over the top of it. What I also like about this, because it's more of a whitewash, if you ever hated it, you could remove it.
Really?
Be a ton of work. But it's not so thick in there because the water's in there that if you put a paint stripper on there, you could do it. But I think that once you did it, why would you ever go back? Right?
Oh, my gosh. So cool.
Go to HouseSmarts. So cool. Go to HouseSmartsRadio.com for information, and it'll be there, and you'll see the links and everything that you need for it. And that's our new Lou 2 sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Pete calling in from Barrington. Hey, Pete, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. So we bought a couple outdoor refrigerators, and we forgot to peel off the film, the plastic film that's on the door.
Oh.
And it sat in the sun for a few days, and now I went to go to do it last night, and they're just coming off in teeny pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So any suggestions?
Hair dryer.
Okay.
Let's take a hair dryer, and what's happened is that, you know, that adhesive, which is a quick release, but the heat actually enhances it. So take a little hair dryer in a section and then gently peel it away. Don't get it super hot. Are they stainless or do they?
Yeah, stainless.
Okay.
Stainless.
Yeah, if you spend 4 or 5 minutes on an area, and then you should be able to peel it off in larger chunks.
So just try to rewarm it.
Correct. And then release the adhesive, and it should come off.
Okay.
All right?
That was it. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. 7:46 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. Are you a Sox fan?
I am a Sox fan. I am one of those rare breeds in Chicago where I root for both teams. I grew up a Cub fan, but we moved to Bridgeport 18 years ago or so, right before the Sox won the 05 World Series. And my son and I went to all of the Sox games, so I couldn't root against the White Sox.
I got a funny story for you. I was at this event this week, and I was talking with this woman who mentioned to me that we were talking about the White Sox, and she grew up in Beverly, right? Sox fan, a whole family. And she said, oh, my dad was such a big Sox fan that he passed away. And on his tombstone, okay, Southsider, right, it says, I raised 6 children, not 1 Cubs fan.
A wonderful legacy.
Yeah, isn't that great? That's great. How may I help you this morning?
Well, this falls under the category of happy wife, happy life.
We love those categories.
Right. Well, and you and I have another common theme between us. We froze many an evening at St. Ignatius cheering our 2 daughters on in lacrosse as they played lacrosse
those
together.
Those early spring games were pretty cold, right?
Right. Rachel and Carmen were playing on the same team.
Oh, very nice.
So Rachel's a nurse, and she just moved back home about 6 to 8 months ago. She's been dealing with COVID ever since she graduated from UIC's nursing program. And she brought home her 2 cats. So now we have 4 cats in our home. And our living room carpet is pretty wrecked. This is going to be the fourth carpet we're going to replace, at least since we moved into this home. And Carmen, my wife, is just done with carpeting. So she wants to put in a maple floor in our living room, which I've grown to like the idea. But the fellow came by yesterday and shared something that was a bit disconcerting. We need to put an oil seal over the flooring, Lou, to match all of the other maple wood in the house, the staircase, the raised bar that we have. And he said that we're going to have to leave the house for a minimum of 3 to 10 days because of the toxic smells from the seal that he's going to put on. And we were just wondering, do you know of any other options we could use to put a true maple floor down without using that toxic covering over
it? He's not doing an oil sealer. He's doing what's called a Swedish finish, right?
Okay.
So that I'm not a fan of that at all. Now, hold on a second.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. So you have other maple floors in the rest of the house?
Yes. A small maple floor next to the living room is an open area with a maple floor and a raised bar, and that's all maple wood. And then a staircase going up to the bedrooms from the living room, which is maple flooring as well. So, maple cabinets in the kitchen and so on.
Okay. But hold on a second. We're talking about installing a floor in a large area.
Yes.
Okay. So why not, instead of going through all that, I mean, I'm fine with you putting the maple floor in, but in that small area that you're talking about, have them sand that floor, okay? And have them also sand the stairs going up. And then put a waterborne finish on so everything matches. I don't care about the bar or the other maple cabinets. That can have a different patina than the floor itself, but... Even if you went with an oil-based polyurethane, which you wouldn't have to leave for 3 days, it's never going to match entirely. This, in my opinion, the flooring contractor should say, we're going to install the new floor, we're going to sand everything, so then when we come back and put the finish on, it all matches.
Okay.
They're going to
That water base is a bit different. It has a different feel. It's a little rougher finish than the.
It is not
what he's talking about.
It is not.
No.
No. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
I am writing as you are speaking.
You're going to call a guy that I've done business with for almost 30 years, Peter Flooring.
Okay.
773-481-2244.
Okay.
Waterborne finish, 3 coats, beautiful satin finish, maple floor. Your wife gets what she wants. You keep the nails trimmed on the cats. Right?
Right.
And then we sand everything to match. Now, is there a hallway that's wood floor on the second floor?
Yes, there is.
Okay, so we can either sand the steps all the way up to that point and stop, or you could do the upstairs too.
Okay.
But you don't have to do the second floor if it's detached from it, just so we match the stairs going up and you can transition at that point. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
I am never a fan, this is for anybody listening, of that super hard, what they're talking about is like stuff they use on basketball courts. It's not a basketball court, it's your house. And the whole idea of leaving and toxic stuff, why would I want that in my house? I don't want that in my house.
Right, because our concern is just even if the odor goes away and we bring the cats back, we might have an issue with the cats breathing in whatever the residue.
Once it cures, it's fine, but I just don't. I'm not a fan of the product. There's no, in my opinion, there's no reason to use that product in a residential home.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Right.
Nice talking with you. Go White Sox.
Thank you, Lou. Thanks so much.
Take care. Be well. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Obviously, it's something we think about in October, but it's something you should be thinking about now. I was just going through and replacing the batteries in smoke detectors, and I need to get some more 9-volt batteries to get that going. But then the whole advent of these 10-year batteries and these detectors is something you should really think about. Because then you don't have to worry about it. 10 years from now, you just replace the whole thing, and you know that the system is nice and safe and ready to go. All right, 877-2134-LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. This is Jim, who is in Indiana. Jim, good morning.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How may I help you?
Having that problem. It's in the basement. It's gotten out of control. I tried the sticky strips and sprayed the entire outside, inside, the window wells. Just can't figure out where they're actually a fungus gnat, according to Google.
Hold on a second. Because your phone is a little garbly. What is the actual problem you're having in the basement?
Gnats.
Okay. And do you have floor drains in the basement?
Yeah, but it's not the drain gnats. It's a fungus gnat. And sprayed the entire outside, inside. I have the strips, those flea and insect strips you get at Ace.
Right. Is it an unfinished basement?
No, it's completely finished, except in the back, but they're not in the back of the basement.
They're in the main part of the finished portion.
That's correct.
What is the flooring in there?
Carpet.
When's the last time that was cleaned?
This spring.
I bet they're in the carpeting.
Yeah.
I bet they're in the carpeting, and that's what you need to treat. But what I would probably do instead of that is, if you want to do it yourself, rent a carpet machine, or you could call the folks at Executive Green, because they may have some treatments too. And I think that if you were to go in the corner of the room and grab the corner and peel it back up, I bet you're going to see some moisture or some evidence of it under between the pad and the backside of the carpeting. And I think I would start with cleaning that carpeting, whether you do it yourself or hire somebody.
Okay.
And then continue with the spray. But then also we probably need to, if there's a fungus down there, then the humidity level is too high. And do you have any windows, or you said there's window wells? Is the windows can be opened?
No, they can't be opened. And we have a dehumidifier down there.
But is there any way to get fresh air down there?
I'll look into it. I mean, possibly open one of those windows, possibly.
Yeah, because with this dry, cooler air that we have right now, that would benefit you greatly. Mm-hmm. if we can get some fresh air in there. Lower the moisture level down, clean that carpeting, and then see if that makes a difference. I bet you they're embedded in the carpet, which is why you're having this problem. And I think that that should solve that problem for you. Good luck with that. I appreciate the phone call. 877-213-4-LOU. This is Mike in Downers Grove. Hey, Mike, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Paisan, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. How you doing? I got a question on chipmunks.
Okay.
I got tunnels everywhere, and there's a tunnel underneath the front sidewalk, so I filled it in with some black dirt and figured, they ain't coming back. Well, I went out there the other day.
And they dug it right up.
Twice the size.
Right, right. They're like, I'll show you, mister. You don't know me. You're not my boss.
That's it.
Ready? You're going to go to the hardware store, and you're going to buy a product called Bonide Sonic Spike. And you're going to get the battery one, get two of them, and on either side of your stoop, you take a broom handle and jam a broom handle and make a hole, and then you'll push this inside, and then it makes a little sound like a rodent in distress. I started using it. Yeah, I've heard from people say it doesn't work, and I think that they're just not using it right, because I've used it, and I've recommended this to people, and it really does work. It's called the Mole Max Sonic Spike by Bonide, but it does work for chipmunks.
Okay, you get it at Ace Hardware?
You do.
That's the place at Ace. Ace is the place.
Attaboy. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much, and good luck with that project. 877-213-4-LOU. Oh, you know what time it is? What time is it? It's time to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet. Who would you like me to take? Line three? Line two? You decide. Three, two, one, and I'm going to take line three. I was thinking, look at it. It's like we're one mind.
But Lindsay said I had two callers in front of me.
But now it's you, Chris, in Itasca.
Hey, good morning, Lou.
How are you?
Good.
Wait. You know what I like? I like that we have been on the air so long that people just associate the two of us together. Well, Lindsay said, right? It's like we're a working couple. How may I help you this morning?
Hey, I've got an old house that's got, it's 97 years old. So on top of the foundation's like cement blocks.
Okay.
And then the frame house. And those have been painted over. Is there any way of getting that paint off to have the natural look?
Are we inside or outside?
Outside.
Okay. You want the natural...
cement look.
The block look. Now, wait. So right. you've got a concrete foundation, and then there's a block wall on top?
Yeah, five rows of block.
Okay. The short answer is yes, it's a lot of work. But, you know, the thing with cinder block is it's a very porous stone. And so that paint there is helping keep some of the moisture out from the outside. But if you want to remove it, you can try this. You won't get everything off, but you'll make it better. You're going to use a paint stripper and probably a wire-wheeled brush on the end of a drill. How much area are we talking about?
Like the whole house, and, you know, it's, what, 20, probably 30 foot wide by 75 foot deep.
Yeah, you're going to have to probably use a fairly aggressive paint stripper. I mean, I do like this product called Citrus Strip, but I don't know that it'll be as effective as a chemical stripper would be on something like this. And you would apply it, you know, in a section, let it sit, it'll bubble up, you'll... Actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back. There is a paint stripper that I discovered at the hardware show in Las Vegas probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's called Dumond, D-U-M-O-N-D.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, they sell it in 55-gallon drums. As a matter of fact, this company was the company that provided the stripper for the paint on the Eiffel Tower.
Oh.
So the whole Eiffel Tower it's now been reopened, you know? They were using mm-hmm. this paint stripper. And what's unique about this product is it almost looks like hand lotion, okay, in the tub. Like you could put your hand in it and hold it in your hand, it won't burn your hand. Yet when you put it on a paint finish and you allow it to sit, it will dissolve the paint, and that might be the way to go. It's not easy to find. I mean, you can find it. You'll have to look it up mm-hmm. and find a dealer in there, but you may have pretty good luck with there. There will be essence of the paint in the nooks and crannies of the block. You won't get it all off, but on the face of it, you will. And actually, what I kind of like about having the nooks and crannies still have the paint in there is it may still protect the block from absorbing moisture.
Okay. Okay. And if we decide that's too much work to strip it, what kind of paint would you suggest to repaint on it?
Well, I mean, how old is the house?
97.
Lord knows what's on there already, so I would just use an acrylic latex over the top. I'd lightly sand it, open up the film. You know, is there a lot of paint peeling, or is it pretty sound?
Yeah, I borrowed my neighbor's power washer and did part of it because the top layer is peeling off, and it's what's underneath it is it's pretty much on the block yet.
Right. So you're not down to the block when you pressure washed it?
No, there are spots, yes.
Mm-hmm. But not consistently. Yeah, so I would, quite frankly, with something like that, I would just use a, because we have to bond, you know, you're not only going to bond, I would, any bare block, if you're going to paint it, I'd spot prime it, right, just to mm-hmm. get in some adhesion. And then I would just use an exterior latex, acrylic latex paint, Benjamin Moore. Actually, the Ace product, the Clark & Kensington exterior, is a really good paint, and I would just use that.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Lou?
Yes, sir?
What about a brick facade?
Like something that you hung on it?
Yeah.
I mean, they do make those stone appliques that you would mechanically... Well, probably what you would want is something where you mechanically fastened some strips onto the block as opposed to trying to glue it because it's a painted finish. So you basically put these runners on, and then the back of the stone, you just hang it, and then you stack it, and you cut it. It's beautiful, and it could change the whole look of the house. Lindsay, we remember we even talked to somebody about the stone facade company. It was a number of years ago that we interviewed the people, and the name of the product where you hung it on the wall and it looks like it's actually cut stone, and it was like a mosaic, remember? Keep listening and we'll come up with the name of the product, but there's a bunch of them out there. But there's
okay.
But you, for what you want, I don't want you to thin set mortar or glue it on there because I don't think it'll hold up long term. You want one that has a strip that hangs on it.
Okay, hang it on. Okay. Okay, got it.
Yeah, and it's real stone, and it's beautiful stuff, and you can get it in all kinds of shapes and sizes and styles, and you know, you see it, you know, when you like go to a shopping mall and they've got the pillars and they've got the stone at the bottom and then the columns on the top type of thing. It's that kind of look. Mm-hmm. It can look like field stone. It can look like river rock. They have just a whole bunch of stuff on the outside for the appliques on that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. All right, 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. Lindsay talked a little bit about it at the top of the hour that aging in place is something that I think for a lot of us, we want to figure out how we can stay in our homes. There's a company that we found that this is what they do, kind of soup to nuts. The consultation, they'll help with the construction, they'll, you know, do just about everything. They'll actually come and assess what your home needs, which I think you'll find pretty interesting. We're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. But right now, it's time for WGN Radio News. All right, let's talk a little bit about aging in place. You know, the one thing that we can't seem to figure out is that the time clock just keeps running. And I know for many of us, staying in our homes and having the freedom that we've always had is very important to us. And that means that you may need a little bit of help. Joining me on the phone line right now is Amy Fink, who is the Vice President of Business Development for a company called Lifeway Mobility. Amy, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about Lifeway Mobility. What is it that you folks do?
Well, you mentioned aging in place, and our specialty is helping people to age in place, people with limited mobility, their families, their caregivers, their clinicians. We work with people to take a look at their homes, see what issues and concerns they may have or hurdles that they're facing in terms of aging in place and home accessibility. And then after we do that consultation, we can work with them to, you know, educate them, tell them the different options that are available to modify their home, and then help get those done as well. So we often get people, you know, who are calling us, you know, we hope that they're calling us in advance. Like you say, everybody wants to age in place. And they, you know, the wish would be that everyone would look around their house and say, boy, you know, I wonder if, you know, I might have an issue that I'm concerned with. But generally people call us after something has happened, like a fall or an illness or some sort of diagnosis.
Right. You're right. That there is, if you're ahead of it, you know, there's so many things that you can do to make your life easier. I can remember years ago being part of a meeting that we're at talking about, you know, universal design and how, you know, the types of things that even the simplest thing of having, instead of a door knob, having a door handle,
And that not only assisted people that were aging, but it assisted a six-year-old who maybe needed to go through a doorway and, you know, just small little things. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about maybe three of the most important areas of a home to address when you're talking about aging in a home.
Well, you know, you bring up a really good point that, you know, while we're saying aging in place, you know, these are really, I consider it smart design for anyone who's living in their home, right, who wants to be safe within their home. And so, you know, like the three key areas where we get questioned, number one is I need some help accessing my house. How do I get into my house? So let's say that, you know, you have a couple of stairs to get in and out of the house. Maybe you need a railing. You know, it could be just something as simple as putting a railing by the steps on your front door or putting a light at your door. Sometimes the steps are uneven and you might want to, you know, make them a little safer. But, you know, oftentimes people come to us because they really have trouble navigating the stairs to get in. And right, so frequently, you know, they might be saying they need a ramp to get in and out of the home. So, you know, that's very typical is, you know, accessing the home. How do I get in and out? And when we do a consultation, we might come out and say, you know, you're right. A ramp is the perfect solution. You can buy one from us. You can rent one from us, and we'll help design that ramp and really make it suited to your home. Sometimes we would take a look and say, you know, maybe a stair lift, let's say, you know, from your garage level up to your first floor might be a really good solution to getting in and out of the house. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, that's like the one area we get a lot of calls, access to the home. Like the second area might be, you know, how do I navigate safely throughout my house? So let's say that, you know, my bedroom's on the second floor and, you know, I have stairs to get up to the second floor, but I'm really concerned about my balance on the stairs. Then, you know, that's an opportunity where maybe we could, you know, take a look. Maybe, you know, a railing on both sides of the stairs would be helpful, or maybe the answer is a stair lift.
I'm going to stop you for a second because I know I asked you for three things, but I'm, you know, as I'm listening to you, so Lifeway Mobility, you folks are really all about in total when it comes to your home, right? In other words, someone can contact you. You know, there's a lot of companies out there that just specialize in one thing, like we do elevators or we do lifts, but it sounds like what Lifeway Mobility does is you not only help in the consultation, but you'll install this stuff. You'll sell them the products that they need, or it sounds like you'll even rent certain products that people may need if it's a short-term situation as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a really important point because there are companies that all they provide is, like, for example, a walk-in bathtub. So every problem you have, is the answer is a walk-in tub.
Right.
But, you know, we really have a range of solutions that range from, you know, ramps, stair lifts. You know, we do provide walk-in tubs, but we also provide barrier-free showers or something as simple as the installation of a grab bar. And that's just a few of our solutions,
right.
But, you know, our focus is really not on the product, but on the person who's calling us, because it's really all about people.
Right.
And so when we go out, our goal is to just provide as much information as we can so that people can really make an informed decision and pick the right solution that works for them, their home, and their budget.
You started to talk about walk-in tubs. I have to imagine that the third thing is the bathroom, because that's an area of great concern for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And when you think about it, the bathroom is almost an accident waiting to happen, because you have a lot of transferring going on in there, and then you have a wet and potentially slippery floor. So, you know, when I think of a bathroom, you know, the number one thing that I think of in terms of value is maybe just simply getting a grab bar, because having something to hold on to really prevent that fall from happening in the first place is so important. So, you know, we do things, you know, as basic as a grab bar. But then again, sometimes the solution is pulling out the tub and maybe putting in a barrier-free shower. Sometimes
right.
It's railings around the toilet. And sometimes, you know, even if it's a solution that we may not provide, we're more, you know, as part of the consultation when we come out, you know, we might go over, well, gee, you know, is your toilet, maybe your toilet's a little bit too low for you and it makes it hard for you to get up and down.
Mm.
So, you know, our consultation will point out a lot of different things, and then, you know, we can you know, like I said, help with the showers, the tubs, the grab bars, and a variety of other solutions.
You know, this all sounds terrific, and I think that there's a lot of people in this situation that could use this kind of help. Affordability, obviously, is something that everyone is concerned with. Is that something that you have the ability to show people perhaps some funding sources or resources that people may have if that's a challenge?
Absolutely. And you know, unfortunately, it's a challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So we on our website, we have a lot of information about different funding resources, because unfortunately, most of these type of solutions are not covered by typical health insurance or,
right.
you know, Medicare. But on our website, which is lifewaymobility.com, you can go to our resources section, and we have, you know, state-specific funding solutions, you know, including, you know, some of them are governmental funding sources, and some of them are private organizations. You know, people might look to the ALS Association, Les Turner Association, or you know, other private organizations that might have funding as well.
So whether it's a stair lift or wheelchair lift or ramps or grab bars, or even if there's some construction modification that has to happen to a home, like an entryway or an interior doorway that needs to be widened, that's something that Lifeway Mobility can help with.
Right. And you know, we can kind of point you in the right direction in terms of the funding resources, you know, and share with you the information that we have.
Sure. Of course. Of course. I mean, I think navigating that is just the hardest thing, right? Because people maybe just don't know where to start. Now, I do also know that you have a local showroom in Arlington Heights, correct?
We do. Actually, we just remodeled that showroom, and that showroom, it's really helpful because people can go to the showroom and actually see, touch, and feel, you know, see a stair lift, see an elevator, see a wheelchair lift, and even see ramps to, you know, just makes it a lot easier. And you can try out your stair lift, and, you know, maybe you like this one over that one.
Right.
So absolutely.
So people can come to the showroom, or they can make an appointment, and, you know, this is just a marketing thing. You can say easy access to get there. You know, I think whenever you can say that, that's a good thing. That's a joke. You know, easy access to the, you know, stay with me. Come on. Amy, how do people learn more about Lifeway Mobility? This is all super interesting stuff. And I know that we have lots of listeners who could really use your kind of help.
So to learn more, the easiest way is to go to our website, which is lifewaymobility.com. And on the website, there's a form where you can fill out to request some more information or a free evaluation. So, you know, you can contact us through our website, or you can call our toll-free number, which is 888-714-1930. And you can, you know, any of us would be more than happy to go over questions that you might have. Somebody might have a specific question about their home and,
right.
you know, maybe a need for a ramp or lift, or they might just have a more general question, or maybe even just need a consultation, and we're happy to do that. And we do our consultations either in person at the home, or remotely over the phone, or maybe even with a video chat, whatever works for people.
Amy Fink is the Vice President of Business Development at Lifeway Mobility. Great information, Amy. I so appreciate you joining us this morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks, Lou.
Hi, Alonzo.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How may I help you, sir?
Hey, I got a couple issues, but my main one is I own a Indiana red sandstone building, and I'm told that the stone is no longer available to get quarried, but someone coated it with a tinted Portland cement mixture that tinted red, and it's peeling all over. I found a product called Sure Coat, and the areas that I'm able to scrape off with a plastic trowel without damaging the natural stone, I'm putting this coat on there, and it stops the sandstone from, you know, when you rub it, peeling off. Buffing out.
Right.
Yes. So is there anything that can help me get this Portland off that stone without actually damaging the stone?
This is like a big commercial building?
No, it's my residential.
Oh,
Okay. And is it a single? Is it a single story? Is it a two story?
Three levels on the front. Yeah.
So the thing that'll get it off of there is that you need to get it super wet, because then when the limestone underneath there gets moist, it will loosen the bond between the two. But it's, I mean, I don't want to say a pressure washer, because that can damp, the stone is soft, and so you have to be worried about
Absolutely.
It if you're too aggressive. But let's just say you took, see, how would we do this?
Water hose and just spray it all day?
Well, there's an attachment that I have seen that it's kind of this, it's this crazy thing. They're like, oh, you don't need a pressure washer. Imagine, you've probably seen it online or something. It's a wheel. It's a spinning wheel on a handle, and you hook your garden hose to it, and then it's got some water jets on the end of it, but then the wheel with the pressure of the water spins, and the water sprays while this brush is spinning, okay? And then they'll show a guy out on the sidewalk going, wow, look at how clean this is, you know, because somebody just threw some dirt on there right before the camera went on, and, you know, it's not that great. But that would be great for what you're doing, to connect it to your garden hose and work in a section to, like, work the clean an area and get it nice and wet on the outside, and then go with a, let's see, we need a larger scraper, but we want something that's not going to damage the stone. So we don't want it to be metal.
Yeah, I've been using plastic scrapers.
Yeah, you know what would probably work is like a
and a wire brush.
Like a plastic, like a snow shovel.
Uh-oh.
But you would modify the snow shovel. So you know how a snow shovel, it's a plastic blade, but then it kind of comes up on the sides to hold the snow. Take a jigsaw, like sacrifice a snow for this project. Sacrifice one of these snow shovels. Cut that edge off. So now you've created a wide plastic putty knife.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get an area wet, and then you scrape off the stuff, and that could work.
Okay.
But we got to get it wet. We got to get it wet so it breaks the bond.
Okay. One more thing, because I did an extensive rehab on the inside of the property because it's been designated a landmark.
Nice.
And my contractor did a very poor job with the soundproofing, and it's really bad. Is there anything I can do without ripping out the ceilings and re-insulating, because I don't think he put it in there. I think I got shifted on that, but it is what it is.
There's not the only thing that you could do when it comes, are we talking about soundproofing between levels or from the outside in?
Between levels.
So the only thing you're going to do that's going to improve it is more work. You have to put in a false ceiling and have an air gap between the two. Adding insulation is going to do minimal. It's the air gap. Okay. And so if you framed a new ceiling and then drywalled it, but there was a half-inch gap between the framing and the drywall that's there, the biggest issue is any electrical outlets or anything would have to be extended. But it is that gap between the two substrates that gives you the soundproofing. But then again, that kind of contact sound between floors is very difficult to mitigate. So with all of that, I don't want you to feel like you're going to have a sound booth when you're done, because you won't. It'll be better, but it won't be perfect for sure. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. People don't know this, but on today's show, Lindsay is actually in a remote location. Where are you exactly?
I'm broadcasting from Isle of Palms in Charleston, South Carolina.
On the front porch of someone's house, where you're there on a ladies' weekend. And so during the break, she's telling me about, you know, the lovely time that she's having. And she's like, oh, my gosh, my friend Abby, she's from England. And she's so funny. And we got to get her to do a rejoin. Well, so we're separated. Normally, Lindsay puts all this together. And so she had Abby record a rejoin.
that we, I don't know how to do any of this. This is Lindsay's specialty, and she purposely doesn't allow me to do it, because then she's like, well, if you know how to do this, why do you need me? Which, of course, I always need you. But so, Don and Andy, I am going to try a live mix.
Ooh.
Of a, wow. Like a DJ. I'm like, you know, Cassara? She's like a DJ. She was at Lollapalooza.
That's yep. Right.
Right?
Yeah, that was
she's
awesome.
Amazing. Where's Cash when I need her? Just
right.
Throw this out to her, and she could do it. So bear with me. Let's see how this works. This is Abby. She literally just recorded it this morning, and I'm going to see if we can pull this together.
This is Abby from Manchester, England. Where I'm from, we call our toilets the loo. But when I'm in Chicago, I call loo Manfredini. Now back to my favorite loo right here on House Smarts Radio.
You know, we're real with the listeners constantly, so that's true. Andy, while you're there, real
yeah.
Quick. Do we have an opinion about the Chicago Bears and Arlington Heights?
Yeah, my opinion is go.
Me too.
Go and go fast before they change their mind if they win it.
I have to tell you that when the Bears or the city pulled a fast one over everybody's eyes about Soldier Field, we're going to save the columns, and then the spaceship landed on top of
yeah.
Soldier Field. I mean, and I know that the mayor's like, oh, we want to keep the Bears. I'm like, the city of Chicago has no money to keep the Bears.
No.
And there's no way that we can make anything happen on that lakefront campus that what the modern teams have.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've spoken about this on the show before. Like, my wife, who's a huge football fan, will watch any game, anytime. Her, one of the things that we talk about when we retire, she wants to go to every NFL stadium in and see a game.
Okay.
She's so cool.
Right? Very
She's cool.
So cool.
That would be cool, yeah.
She's so cool. And it was always like, oh, I want to go to Dallas. I want to go to Dallas. Now, we want to go to that SoFi Stadium.
Right.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
LA.
Is that so cool?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Arlington Heights, I mean, there's all the space. They can imagine it from the beginning.
Yep.
There's a train that goes out there.
Correct. Egress
right?
will be
so,
very good.
But I mean, I think I'm right about this. Most of the fan base for the Bears is not in the city.
Correct.
Right.
It's in the surrounding suburbs.
Totally. Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, and you hit it right on the head, because the Bears, charter franchise in the National Football League, don't own their own stadium.
Right.
They can't do anything. If they wanted to put field turf down, can't do it without the Park District. If they want to do anything else, can't do it without the Park District. And, you know, now the NFL is allowing some cold weather cities to host the Super Bowl, but you have to have at least 66,000 seats. And the Bears, by putting the spaceship in the columns, cut theirs by 5,000 and now only have 61,500, smallest in the NFL.
Right. So,
I get it, but all signs indicate, you know?
What I'm really curious about, I'm sure, I would love to have some economist. We need somebody from, like, University of Chicago to pull this together. Like, what is the revenue generated to the city of Chicago when there's a game? But also, what does it cost? Because it's got to be super high.
Yeah.
Because it's part of the Park District, and there's all these bodies,
right.
And... You know, I bet that in the end, the margin of what we make as a city is not that high.
Yeah, probably not. And, you know, the big argument that everybody is talking about for them to move is that, well, it's not Chicago. Teams aren't going to want to stay in Arlington Heights, and teams are going to, okay, so let them stay in Chicago. It's a win-win for everybody. But there's teams that are the Giants and the Jets. They play in New Jersey. They don't play anywhere near Manhattan.
The Washington football team plays in Maryland.
In Landover.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's
the Chicago Bears headquarters are in Lake Forest.
Correct.
Right.
So I don't see the problem. I mean, I get it. They have a lease with the Park District and the city at the stadium, but that's nothing that money can't fix.
You know what? You know how we're going to solve that problem? I was thinking about that. So first of all, let's just say we go build a stadium out in Arlington Heights.
Right.
That's going to be like, it's going to take 4 years.
At least.
By the time here's what we're going to do and blah, 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 blah. So now all of a sudden we're at 23, 24, 25, 20, 2026. Who knows when the lease goes. Then just do instead of buying out a lease, then the city takes a little revenue share. Okay, we'll let you out, but whatever you make, give us a little piece of it, right? So that everybody gets their money and, you know, it's based on revenue, blah, blah, and then the Bears get what they want. Easy access. I mean, have you been to a Bears game?
it's impossible to go to a Bears game.
Yeah. And me and Joe Brand couldn't get there from this tower in half an hour the day that we went to see a preseason game.
It was insane. You're right on the lake. It would have been faster for you to walk along the beach.
It would have been. It's insane to get there on a game day.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, there's a lot of people talking, and there's a lot of stories that were out in the news earlier in the week about, you know, maybe doing some doctoring up to the stadium. But the problem is, you can't go west. You definitely can't go east because you got Lakeshore Drive, and then you got a big lake. Yeah. There's going to be it's a hard sell and a hard fix. So to me, the best option is to say, okay, we made a mistake here and didn't have a lot of forward thinking on our brand new redone stadium. Let's cut our losses and move out.
And they can be smart about it, and they can do, like, right, isn't Wisconsin and Notre Dame playing there tonight?
Yeah, they're playing there today.
Right. You can do a lot of those college games. For that kind of stuff, those, you can make your money back, and it's all good.
And I know it's blasphemous to say this, but if they had a retractable roof, they could have a Final Four in Arlington Heights. And just because you have it doesn't mean you have to have it closed during Bears games. You can open it up. You know, you can still have people sitting outside in bear weather. Right. That's fine. But, you know, you think about what they could bring in, not just during the football season. That's something the Bears can't control down the road here a little bit.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We're going to all jump on the Arlington Heights train and go to the Bears game, all of us as a group.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Go Bears. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Mark in Hammond. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hi, Lou.
Good morning. How may I help you?
Well, your last caller who had the paint on the cinder blocks in the basement problem.
On the outside?
Well, I guess it would work. I did mine on the inside, but it would work on the outside. I've got a 70-year-old house with a lot of paint on those basement walls, and I had a leak. And I thought I fixed it, but I kept getting this leak back. Over time, I go, I'm going to paint. Well, I got to get this bubbling and coming off how it does.
Right.
I took a scaler, a pneumatic scaler. And I tried it. I turned the air pressure down a little bit, and I started, going over the paint, and it's coming right off. Now, you're only, it's like an inch in diameter. I'm sure you know what a scaler is.
Right.
They are.
Yep.
But it did the job.
And on that inside, though, it was coming off in flakes, and then it was exposing the block pretty, like the raw block?
Yeah. Yes.
Hmm.
And then I came across something as I'm doing this in certain spots where I would go over the mortar.
Mm-hmm.
It blew the mortar right out.
Oh, yeah. Right. If you're
and
not
I
careful.
Went only in some spots and I went, there's my leaks. My leaks are coming through that weak mortar behind all of this paint.
100%.
And going and running somewhere, and I couldn't figure it out.
Right.
And I mop it up, and life goes on, you know. So, you know how the mortar goes zigzag down the wall? I had that. I put hydro patch on there.
Mm-hmm.
No more leaks. And that was like 10 years ago.
That's amazing because, you know, obviously a concrete block foundation is a very porous material, and so it's always a battle to keep those as dry as possible. But that's good advice. I mean, the guy that called was the exterior block above his concrete foundation that he was trying to aesthetically improve. But that's good advice about trying that pneumatic scraper. That might be the way to go as well. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:22 in the morning. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30. If you'd like to send us some text messages, you can do that at 877-213-4LOU. We'll take a quick break. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. Back to the phone calls. This is Sharon in Glenview. Hi, Sharon. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, good morning, Lou. I'm calling because I have an old fireplace that has some old brick around it. And I was thinking about painting it. And I'm wondering what kind of paint that I should use for that. And then also, do I need like a primer underneath it?
Oh, my gosh. We just featured this morning at 7:35. Maybe you were still napping.
I was still napping.
That's okay. But it's called Gianni. What's the name of it? Wait, I have it right here.
Gianni.
I have it right here. It's called Gianni Brick Transformations whitewash kit. It's a really short name. Gianni.
Yeah.
G-I-A-N-I.
Uh-huh.
Brick.
Whitewash.
Brick Transformations Whitewash Kit. And so you can lighten up or dress up your exposed brick. What you do is, it is a paint material. You pour it into a container. They give you the container. They give you the stick and everything. And you pour water. You do like a 1-to-1 ratio between the paint and the water. And then you brush it onto your brick. And then you wipe it away. And a little bit of the color will come through, but it'll whitewash the brick. If you want to paint it entirely and get rid of the whitewash, you change the ratio to make it a little bit thicker. But I mentioned this morning. It's more of an evolution of it. I would start with the 1-to-1 mix and see how you like it. And then if you're like, I really want it to be all white, I think you'll like it where you see a little bit of the color kind of coming through. Wait, Lindsay has her hand up.
Well, I was just going to say, what about, we had another caller too who was wondering about a different color paint. So do you have any suggestions for if they didn't want to do the white?
So I don't know. You know what I don't know about that, Gianni, is that, is it tintable? I don't think it is. So
you just have the white color.
I think it's just white. So here's the thing. I don't want to take away from the Gianni people, but I bet you could take an acrylic latex paint in any color that you wanted, and you did the 50-50 mix, and I bet it would work.
50-50 mix.
So you would take paint of the color. Are you wanting something other than white?
Mm-hmm.
You are?
Yeah, I was thinking more of a cream color, actually.
Yeah, so take a...
Only because I thought I was going to not match up the wall, but be in a warm tone.
Well, so here's the thing, though, okay? And I get that, but with the whitewash, okay, you still get the bleed of the brick, and it will be warmer. It's not going to be this bright white. Go... if you go to HowSmartsRadio.com, there's examples and pictures and photos of it, and you just click on the Noodaloo 2 and you can see it. And I think I would do this.
Okay.
All right.
Writing this all down. All right, good. Do I have time for one more question?
Sure, real quick.
Oh, yeah, where'd I get it? Ace Hardware?
No, Gianni, it's not something stocked at Ace. I think you got to order it online.
Okay, all right, good.
What was your other question?
We have a sink in the bathroom upstairs, and like when I turn it on every so often, I get like a sewer smell that comes out of it.
The sink?
And I've done where the Pine Sol, I was listening one day, he said Pine Sol, pour it down there, scrub it out. I've done all that.
You took the stopper out?
Yep.
And you scrubbed it with a brush?
I did.
All the way down to the trap?
Yep.
And now when you pour it, you still get a smell?
Every so often, you turn on the faucet and you do get that smell comes up.
Hmm. Try cleaning the overflow and also make sure that the trap is not leaking and you're losing a little bit there.
Okay, I can do that.
Try that and see if that helps. Okay.
All right. All right, sir.
We talk about how they're so crazy with the, you know, kids being obsessed with the phones, but it happens to us old folks, too.
See?
Our Just Text Me segment, Just Don't Text Me and Drive. You have a few text messages we can answer this morning?
I sure do. Here's the first one. Lou, should a 21-year-old roof with no problems that looks okay be replaced or just inspected and repaired as needed?
I mean, the fact is the average life of a roof is 13 years. However, I will give you a perfect example. I own a rental property and have for the past 27 years, 27, maybe 28, I'm old. It's a pretty steep roof, and I have it inspected every couple of years. And I had my roofing contractor out there just couple months ago. And I said, what's the condition of the roof? And he goes, it looks great because of the steepness of the roof and whatever exposure it had. And he goes, it doesn't need to be replaced. We fixed a few shingles here and there, whatever. Now, it's getting to its life expectancy. And I think that with a 22-year-old roof, you're on borrowed time. But, you know, save your money, plan for it. And maybe, you know, if you can get it to 25 years, then replace it. In particular, with whatever your plan is, if you're going to sell the home, right? Because
that will become an issue. So, in other words, if you in your mindset 5 years from now, I'm going to sell the house. Well, whomever's going to buy that house, they're going to denote the age of the roof, and that will become a place where you'll have to give a credit to someone to redo the roof. And so the question becomes, if you're going to sell the house 5 years from now, do you do the roof in 5 years, or do you do it now and get the benefit of a brand new roof? And then when you go to sell, oh, the roof was replaced 5 years ago, which is a non-issue, right? It's like, it doesn't leak, it's 5 years old, all is good. So you just have to think about what your master plan is with the home and then make your decision based on that. Number two?
Number two, there is a wasp nest 12 or 15 feet high in my maple tree. How do we get rid of it?
You're going to need a stepladder, 12 or 15. Okay, so you're going to need at least a 6-foot stepladder, and I'm going to assume that you're at least 5 foot, 8 inches tall.
Okay.
So you're going to climb up the ladder, and you're going to be 4 feet off the ground, plus 5. So now you're 9, so you're 10 feet up in the air, and then you're going to reach your hand up, and you're another 2.5 feet. So now you're 12 feet. Now we're going to take wasp and hornet spray that's foaming. You're going to climb up that ladder. You're going to squeeze it, and you're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you're going to carefully climb down the ladder and then run. And then you're going to, and then tomorrow you're going to do it again. And then the next day you're going to do it 3 days in a row, and the nest will be gone. You're going to need to buy at least 2 cans of foaming wasp spray that sprays 20 feet. Number three.
Lou, I installed a new cedar fence 2 weeks ago. Any difference between staining and sealing? When is the best time? Any recommendations?
So the nice thing about that cedar fence right now is that it's this beautiful red, brown, beautiful. It's just lovely. It will not stay like that. It will gray. And if you seal it, oh, put a clear sealer, it'll keep that color. It won't. And the sealer will also peel. So what I would rather you do is a semi-transparent stain on the fence. And quite frankly, you know, the fencing typically is pretty dry. So you can either enjoy the fence now and do this in the spring, or if you really, you're like, no, I really want to get it done, I would not stain it for probably at least 2 weeks, because a vertical fence like that will dry pretty quick. The fencing, the cedar is pretty thin. And use a semi-transparent deck / fence stain. You can use a Cabot. You can use a Penofin, which I really like. There's a product called Flood that's very good. Brush it on and make sure you pay special attention to the top of the boards and that hit the sky, because that's where most of the rot will come on a fence for sure. Thanks so much for the text messages. Let's get back to the phone calls at 877-213-4-LOU. This is Loretta in Libertyville. Good morning, Loretta.
Thank you for taking my call. I have two little issues. One, in my attic, I have scratching and running around. I think it's bigger than a mouse, maybe. And I don't know what to do about it.
Does Libertyville offer animal control at all for something like that? Some cities and villages do.
I don't think they do.
Okay. So we need an exterminator. If it's bigger than a mouse, then it's either a squirrel or it could be a raccoon. But we have to get somebody up there to take a look at where they're coming in to repair that and get them out of there. So we need, you know, there's an exterminator that I've done business with for years, and you hear maybe on WGN, Rose Exterminators. I don't know that they go all the way to Libertyville, but you could try.
Great.
They may have a recommendation if they don't go all the way to Libertyville. So Rose Pest Control, and they handle this as well. And you said you had a second question?
Right. I have albums and books that smell musty. I'm putting them out on the patio in the sun, and it don't seem to alleviate the musty smell.
Where have they been stored?
That's the funny thing, in my living room. I don't know. It was not stored in the basement or anything.
Right. And so they just have a little bit of an odor to them?
Right. Kind of a musty odor.
Okay, so there's a product that you can find at the hardware store. Actually, there's a fabulous Ace in Libertyville called Fresh Wave.
Okay.
And they make a spray, like a small spray, that you would kind of open up the books and kind of just spray lightly on the covers and like individual pages, and then leave the books open and allow that to, absorb that musty smell. It should solve the problem.
Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate it. And you're absolutely right. We have a wonderful Ace in Libertyville.
Yeah, they're great up there. Really nice people. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 9:46 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Hi. I have a washing machine question. For a while there, I was hearing like a knocking sound when it would change cycles. So I called the repairman out, and he took the drum out and everything. I thought maybe it was a belt, but I guess they don't use belts any longer. But he said that he found rust in the bottom of the drum. And he said, just treat it with kid gloves for now until you get a new one. So, you know, I would put less water in there when I was doing a load, and I wouldn't do it on the fast cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't see it. I was going to wash a load this morning, and I saw a little rust piece at the bottom. So,
how old is this unit?
I'm sorry?
How old is this washing machine?
It's about, I've been here 3 years. I think it's like 20 years old, and it's a Kenmore.
Mm-hmm.
And
So those washing, it's a top load, correct?
It is, yes.
All right, so right at the base of it, the belt that you talk about, there's a transmission. That's what it's called. And it's really the most expensive part of the whole thing, right? It's the thing that turns it back and forth and agitates it and spins it, whatever. And so that knocking is probably a bearing or something inside the transmission that's now, oblong. It's not round anymore, and so it's not uncommon if there's a little bit of rust, maybe water's leaking onto the transmission, and eventually it's just gonna go. So it is not worth it for you to the repair to either replace the transmission or take it all apart and replace that bearing. I mean, that'll be a transmission on a top load unit is like a $400 part.
Ooh.
You can buy a new Kenmore washing machine, you know, in the $500 range. And so that would be, go ahead and use it or whatever, but just if the budget allows it, 20 years, you've gotten your money's worth out of it. And, you buy a new, Kenmores are all made by Whirlpool. So, I mean, you could go with a Whirlpool or whatever it is that you'd like to get a new washing machine. And that, the new ones will use less water, and so they're more energy efficient. I mean, you'll benefit greatly by it.
Okay. I washed one load after the repairman here, and it worked fine. I put less water in there and everything, and a gentle cycle, and it worked okay. So I guess I just have to start looking for another washing machine, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, the risk is that if there's a little bit of rust, what I would worry about is that could either damage the clothes you put in it, eventually it'll get onto the transmission and blow it and may blow a circuit. I mean, you can always reset a circuit. That's not the end of the world. But you're on borrowed time right now, Lucille, and I think I would probably, do your research and, swap that thing out.
Right. And I'm just wondering now, if I order one now, how long it would take to get here. Would it take months?
The appliances have been, it has been an issue with getting appliances. There's no question about it. But depending on what you choose and where you go, you may have luck in finding something. Top load washing machines, I would stay with the American brands, whether it's Whirlpool, Kenmore, of course, made here. Maytag is made by Whirlpool. I mean, it's a family tree now, because they're all owned by the same, parent company. But
you have a better chance of getting American-made ones than you do, you know, if you're getting stuff from overseas. Thanks so much for the phone call. Quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, we're broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. Did you happen to catch House Smarts Radio a few weeks back when I spoke to Frank Wazalewski, the VP of Sales for Access Elevators? It was an interesting conversation covering the latest technology in residential elevators and how an investment in a residential elevator will ensure mobility and independence for the future. You can listen to that full conversation at WGNradio.com/access. WGNradio.com/access. From residential elevators to stair lifts to wheelchair ramps and more, the pros at Access Elevators provide dignity and independence to persons with disability and mobility issues. This is a company that will help you and your loved ones age in place. The pros at Access Elevators are award-winning, problem-solving mobility experts that you can trust. They have a personal, caring, friendly service team that covers all of Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. To schedule a free in-home or Zoom video mobility assessment, call 844-IL-LIFTS. That's 844-IL-LIFTS, or visit allaboutaccess.com. That's allaboutaccess.com, and you can tell them that Lou sent you. How about our last call, sponsored by ComEd, Powering Lives, gets a House Smarts Radio hat from our friends over at Cobblestone Remodeling. Whether you're renovating a kitchen or a bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com, 773-661-0606. And that is Sharon in Wheaton. Hi, Sharon.
Yes. Hi, Lou. Lou, about mid-August, you were talking about 3-in-1 appliances for $1,500.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I'm more interested in you. Yeah. I bought Guilty Windows through you, and I was more interested in that. But
the product was called Fotile 3-in-1. Fotile 3-in-1. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend.